Today on Real Radio.
If Jesus began his ministry, and it's his church, mind you, that he said he will build, and who died on the cross for you? Some church? Jesus, right? Who rose again from the dead?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know. It's a series of lessons on what we often call the essentials of the faith. You know, a lot of folks use the phrase gospel truth, but even many who say those words have little idea what it truly means, or even a fundamental misunderstanding of it. This is what our teacher delves into in his mini-series called You Need to Know All About the Gospel Truth. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
God says that mankind has a disease in him, and that disease is sin. We do the wrong thing. The wrong thing comes natural to us. You say, I don't like to hear that, but it's true. God says it's true. But don't give up. Don't lose hope. God says, I've come to save. And that's what the gospel is. The gospel doctrine, the reality, is first made clear in, of course, the Old Testament. Specifically, we saw in our previous studies Genesis 3, but I want to have you focus on Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. In verse 31 of Jeremiah 31, the Bible there says, Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant or a new testament with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 32, not according to the covenant, this is awesome, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. He's talking about the Ten Commandments. My commandment which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Verse 33, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. By the way, most scholars today understand that after those days means after God brings Israel back into their land and after he's done dealing with the church, the Bible tells us clearly that Israel's eyes are going to be open during the tribulation period. Isn't that interesting? And they're going to understand Christ to be Savior. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What is he talking about? That's the introduction of the gospel in the Old Testament. God says, I gave you the Old Testament written in stone, and you might ask, for what purpose? If there was need for a second covenant that God says in Jeremiah 31 must come for Israel to be saved, why did he give the first? The first covenant or the first testament, your Old Testament, specifically we're talking about right now, the law of God in the Ten Commandments, was for what reason? To show us God's holiness and our unholiness. You say, well, then what is that good for? To prepare humankind to receive the fact that God is alone, holy, righteous, and just, and he provides the Savior. He does the saving. You can't save yourself. I know that might be your New Year's resolution, but you can't do it. It's not going to work, my friend. Relax, take a deep breath, and chill out. You can't do it. So God promises the gospel even in the Old Testament. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, the Bible says these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them. Remember, he turned them loose. He prepared them, gave them the gospel, and sent them out. And he says, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. Isn't that a weird statement? Jesus now is commencing the ministry of the New Testament, but he says, are you guys listening?
Yes.
He says to them, disciples, go out, but don't tell any Gentiles about this. He says to them, but enter into this, or enter into the city of the Samaritans. Don't go there. But go rather to the lost sheep of the, what, house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. what in the world is going on? Jesus came honoring the Old Testament to fulfill it, and the first evangelistic outreach was to the Jew first. Remember that in your New Testament age. Remember that in these last 2,000 years. The gospel goes to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. And that's exactly what the book of Acts is all about. But Jesus tells his disciples, and the initial work of preaching the gospel is go to the house of Israel. Why? Because it was promised in Jeremiah 31 to be so. Jesus himself did the exact same thing regarding the gospel when he spoke to Nicodemus. Remember, some people today, by the way, I don't know if you know this or not. If you don't know this, you're happily uninformed about some of the things that are going on. And I say that affectionately because you do not need to know about this. But there's a lot of people today in Christendom saying that Gentiles get saved one way and Jews get saved a different way. Have you heard that? That's absolutely false doctrine. They say this. By the way, if I were to mention a name of a man, he's so famous, all of you would know him. If I mentioned his name, you'd pass out because this is what he believes. He says that you and I, we Gentiles have to be born again, but he says Jews don't have to be born again. They come to God a different way. John chapter 3, Jesus speaks to a man named Nicodemus. Was Nicodemus a Canadian? Was he from California? Nicodemus was a Jew. The very first time you hear the word born from above is actually, we use the word born again. The word means actually born from above. Who did Jesus tell that to? A Jew named Nicodemus. He was not only a Jew named Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night. Nick, that's why there's Nick at night. You ever heard of that? Nick at night? He came to Jesus and he said, look, all of us professors of the Word of God, he was a priest of the Word. This guy was, his job was to instruct the nation of Israel on the meaning of God's Word. He says, look, we all know that you've come from God. Nobody can do the miracles you do. And Jesus does, he's not flattered by it one second. Jesus says, unless you're born again, Nicodemus, you will not see heaven. Remember that. Being born again is the result of the gospel presentation. You cannot be born again unless you receive the gospel. The gospel is the accelerant. It's the message. It's the announcement that leads you to being born from above. Jesus says, listen, in bringing the law of the Old Testament and the message of the new together in one sweeping moment, Jesus says, unless you're born again, allow me to say this. I'm speaking to Nicodemus right now. Imagine Jesus would be speaking. Nick, unless you're born again, you will never fulfill the demands of the law. You'll never see heaven. You'll never please God. You'll never be accepted. All of the law that you've been studying for these thousands of years never said it would save you. Imagine if Jesus could have, and he could have, said to Nick, I gave all of that. I'm the one it was speaking about. I'm Jesus, God in human flesh, speaking to you. The Old Testament was all about me. He would have said, it pointed to me. And unless you're born from above, you will not see heaven. And that should shock any one of us this morning who thinks we can get to heaven by keeping the law. If you're not better than Nicodemus, you're in trouble. And God tells Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. That's the gospel. You need the good news. What's the good news? You're freed from the demands of the law. You never have to live up to the impossible, perfect, holy standards of the law. God says, because you'll be born from above, the Spirit of God will come into your life and change you from the inside out. As Jeremiah 31:31 speaks about, I will write this eternal truth on your heart, and you will live it from the inside out. Not unfurling a big list of rules. And you keep these and maybe you can become a member. God says no to that. Isn't that good news? If we were Pentecostals, we would have jumped up and down and said, that's awesome. Because now that opens up the door for all of us to come. Under this point, we understand this, you guys, that the gospel is God's message to man. It's God's message to man. Simply put, the Bible says that man has been, is, and will always be in a state of death because of sin. But God's message is that man can have a restored relationship with God. This fact brings us to the very first word, as I mentioned a moment ago, the word repentance. I'm going to ask you to get your pencils or pens ready and write this down in the margins of your notes if you're there in Luke. Where did I have you get started? I forgot myself. In Luke 19, verse 10. Right along that portion of Scripture in your margins, write the flurry of verses I'm going to give you right now. Listen to this. Matthew 4:17. From that time Jesus, by the way, we should do the same thing, began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Y'all see that? Look at that on the screen. From that time Jesus began to preach. Don't you think, listen, if Jesus did it, don't you think it's a good idea? I have to warn you right now. I'm feeling very ornery today. Because, and this verse has something to do with it, and I'll tell you the reason why. If Jesus began his ministry, and it's his church, mind you, that he said he will build, and who died on the cross for you? Some church? Jesus, right? Who rose again from the dead? Some voodoo weirdo? Jesus. Just like the scripture said he would. Jesus says, I'm really rubbing it in right now, am I? Aren't I? Huh? Yeah. Really laying it down. Jesus is the one who said, quote, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then why is it today in churches across America, it is so cool and so vogue and so hip to never mention this? Pastors and churches will not mention what Jesus began his ministry saying. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Number one, metanoia. Metanoia. Noia is to know, meta, afterthought. Have an afterthought. That's the word repent. Think again, we would say in our modern language. Jesus said, in our modern tongue, watch. Jesus says, you better think twice about the way you've been thinking. Why? We would answer back to him with a question. Why? Because the kingdom of God is right in front of your nose. Amazing statement. You better think again. All of a sudden, thinking is my responsibility. God gave me the ability to think. Every one of us, right? You can think. God gave you the ability, but you're responsible to think. Number two, he introduces the possibility now of you having to choose based on how you think. Do you see the magnitude of just this one verse? You better think again. Why? Because you have a choice to make. The kingdom of God is right in front of your nose. The goal is to get it off your nose and into your heart. I saw a cute picture the other day, a video. Somebody had a golden retriever. You've all seen this, I think. Somebody had a golden retriever and they put a treat on his nose. And the dog is sitting there. Look at this, it's so cute. Big golden retriever, he's sitting there. And he's looking at his master. And the master puts the dog bone on his nose. And the golden retriever goes like this. He only sees the master in the foggy, blurry distance because his cross-eyed eyes are looking at the bone on the end of his nose. And then the master says, okay! And the dog flips it in the air, bites it, swallows it. What happened? The gospel was on his nose, so to speak, the good news. And at the command, you should eat it now, or you can eat it now, the dog flips it in the air, eats it up, and it goes into the innermost being of the dog. Just like you and I. God will not grab you by the neck or by the ear and twist it to make you believe. He says, hey, what you been thinking? And all of us have thoughts. All of us have a worldview. You better make sure it's right. You better check. You better think again. Oh, yeah, why should I think again? Because the kingdom of God is right in front of your nose. And it begins with repentance. Mark chapter 6, verse 12. So they went out and preached that people should what? Repent. Think again. Think twice. Think it over. Luke 13, 3. I tell you, unless you think it over, repent, you will likewise perish. Friends, listen, it's hard to find the word repentance in churches in America today. Because pastors or boards or I don't know, denominations want to have big numbers. And like Robert Schuller said in the heyday of his ministry, I'll never mention the word repent because it has negative connotations. Really? It's too bad Jesus didn't know that. Isn't this serious? Church has become an addition to our cool lives. It's a religious thing to do. A church should be a city on a hill. A church should be a beacon to the community and beyond. And what's coming out of a church should be, think again about Jesus, think again. The kingdom of God is near you. We're not going to go out and behead people to make them believers. We're not going to beat them up. Isn't it amazing? We're in trouble today together. If you preach the gospel, you're going to be in trouble. And we're not even beating anybody up. It seems people will seemingly tolerate beheading more than somebody preaching the gospel. Isn't that strange? Well, he offended me. I don't know. It seems like beheading's quite offensive. But all I said was that Jesus said, all of us, including me, we need to think again. We need to consider the gospel. That it's not about us. It's about him. And he invites us to come and to be with him. It's God's good news to us. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. John 10:26. The word repentance is implied strong here, John 10:26. But you do not believe, he's speaking to the leaders, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. And I cannot read that without asking myself, do I? And I know them. And they follow me. You cannot follow Jesus without metanoia, without a changed mind, without repentance. 1 Timothy 1:15 tells us, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? Sinners. Look, if Jesus saves sinners, then sign me up. I want to be in the front of the line. If sinners go to heaven, then I want to be in the front. Isn't it interesting? You say, well, you know, speak for yourself. I'm so incredibly righteous, Pastor, that God's going to be blessed to have me up there. Jesus said he didn't come for you. Jesus said, I didn't come for those that are healthy. I only came for those who are sick to save them. You see, all of a sudden, he's so good. All of a sudden, he takes the darkest hour and the darkest existence that we have, and only he can make them our absolute victory. All of a sudden, all of my rotten, stinking life of sin and using people and perpetrating this and sneaking that and snooping about that and peeking over here and manipulating that, he says, it's sin! And he turns on his light, like a light coming on in an abandoned home and all the rats and roaches run. He turns on the light and we go, ah! And then look, then he turns the light on his own face and he says, don't worry, don't be afraid. It is I, Jesus. I've come to save you. And you go, right on, right on. Amen. Awesome. Hallelujah. Wow. He exposes it. See, as long as we're defending ourselves, he can't do anything with that. But the moment that light of his gospel exposes the truth of who he is and the truth of who I am, it's at that moment I fall on my knees. And I do what Thomas did. Behold, my God and my Savior. And that's good news, my friend. And I hope you understand that it's good news. If you had to articulate the gospel from the Bible in all accuracy, where would you go? Well, you would absolutely go to 1 Corinthians 15. That's what Paul did in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, moreover, brethren, verse 1, I declare to you the gospel. I preach to you the good news, which I preach to you, which also you received and in which you stand. That's how powerful it is. And look at this, verse 2, by which also you are saved. If, or the word since, if you hold fast that which we preach to you, unless you believed in vain. That's a great statement. Keep it on the screen, guys. It means this. Don't be a fair weather believer. Believe through and through. Don't join the Christian club because it's hip or fun or cool or acceptable. No, no, no. Accept Christ through and through. When it's hip and not. Look, I got saved in the 70s. We drove around Orange County. Everybody did this. Anybody from that era? Remember this? You drove around like this. Huh, everything was this. You drove down the street. Just people driving. And you I'm not kidding, man. You'd be at stoplights. And you'd go like this to people. And if they were believers or unbelievers, they knew exactly what you meant. Everybody in the universe knew what this meant. One-way Jesus. One way, that's what it means. Did you know that? One way Jesus. Is that politically correct today? This, think of that. He said one way, Jesus is the only way, one way. I didn't say that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About the Gospel Truth. It's actually part of a mini-series that goes by that very title. And it's taken from Pastor Jack's collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith called You Need to Know. We'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About the Gospel Truth on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, it seems that the cameras of the world are all pointing to Israel these days. Have you ever wondered why? Because people all over the globe, including unbelievers, seem to know that this nation in the Middle East, which is only about the size of New Jersey, has been for a long time the hot spot of the planet and will be in the future. Now, you really need to be informed about what Scripture says about Israel. That's why we're making this special offer for your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. We'll send you the DVD Update Israel from the Golan Heights. Pastor Jack and his good friend Amir discuss today's news, ISIS, the Iranian threat, America's role in the world, the flexing of Russia's muscles, and the pressure that's being put on Israel. They pass the mic back and forth as they walk through the key passages that deal with what is actually happening before our eyes. Now, I've watched this DVD. I was riveted. It's a great DVD. You should get it. So again, we'll send you the DVD, Update Israel from the Golan Heights, for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now, you might be thinking, wow, the Golan Heights. I don't know anything about that. Don't know where it is. But believe me, you'll figure it out when you listen to Pastor Jack and Amir. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, Update Israel from the Golan Heights. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your contribution to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.